Well, tonight is the last night for our holiness series that we've been on. We've been talking about holiness. And if this is the only night that you have come, then you have missed a lot of good teaching and a lot of anointing and a lot of the very desires and the very heartbeat of God. I would challenge you to get it from our sound people. See Brother Bennett, and if we can't get it to you tonight, we can get your name down and we can get these CDs to you, because I'd like for you to listen to it so that you can give holiness a chance. That's all we're asking about, is that you give holiness a chance. Holiness is one of those things that just simply gives you a deeper relationship with God. It just gives you a deeper walk and relationship with the Lord. Now, there's things about your wife that she likes that only you know about. There's things that you like that only she knows about. There's things that God likes that only the church knows about. It don't even come close to making sense to the world. Don't even think this world is going to understand holiness and righteousness and separation from the world so we can be what He wants us to be. Don't even expect them to understand that. And so what we do is, when we live for God long enough, the subject comes up. And God gives us a chance and an opportunity to receive it. Tonight is the last night that we'll be on this for a good while. Thank you for being here in the house of God. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Jesus, we thank You again for this time to come together and assemble ourselves under the roof of the Church of the Living God to praise, worship, magnify, and glorify You, Lord, not only with our hands, not only with our voices, not only with our feet, but inwardly and outwardly, and with the spirit of meekness and with the spirit of holiness. Praise God. Amen. God bless you as you're seated just now. Praise the Lord. The first thing I want to mention to you tonight is the word legalism. Legalism. Now, when a church, in many cases, even barely mentions the word holiness, the first thing that comes out of the lips of those that don't understand it is legalism, separatists, and legalism. But legalism does not produce holiness. And so I want to define legalism to you tonight. It is not unusual for holiness-minded people to be branded as legalist. Some people will even label any emphasis of standards as legalistic. To them, anyone who teaches separation from the world is a legalist and a modern-day Pharisee. Many honest people are intimidated when such accusations are made, because we don't want to hurt people's feelings and we don't want to destroy relationships. Therefore, I want to deal with this issue here tonight before we proceed our study of the holiness of God. What is legalism? Legalism is the wrong use of rules. It is the wrong use of rules. To put it in another way, legalism results by ascribing the wrong function to rules. Legalism assumes that godliness consists merely of living as closely as possible to moral laws. We don't live holy because somebody made us live holy, and that it's rigid rules that, bless God, you don't do this or you don't come to this church. You've got it all wrong if that's the way you think. You see, you don't earn God's salvation by how holy you are. That's why we're not holy before we get the Holy Ghost. We don't work for Bible salvation, but we go to work after salvation. When salvation has come, that's when we go to work for God. And when we sign that document that says, I am now married to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, we are now looking at Him and we're saying, is there anything that I can do to please You? That's where holiness comes in. You see what I'm saying? There are people that live holy and they are as far as you can get from God. I'm sorry to say that. Don't get mixed up because somebody's got long sleeves and long hair or short hair or a clean shaven face or they don't drink and they don't these outward things. Listen, Jesus said to the Pharisees, on the inside you're full of dead men's bones. This thing, I have tried as a pastor to sow a seed of holiness in this congregation since the first day we began this series, so that seed would give birth, germinate, and begin to grow. And when holiness begins to grow on the inside, it will eventually make its way outside. And then people will say, oh, what a change in their life. I want a change in my life that my neighbor can see, that my brother can see, that my sister, that my family can see. Amen. Amen. And we're not here to condemn those that have had setbacks. Amen. I want you to get back. You get up and get up and get back where the kingdom of God is. And let's move forward and live for the Lord. Amen. Praise God. And for those of you that have no clue about what I'm talking about, you just stay with us for a while. We're not going to condemn you. We're not going to cast you into hell. We don't have that right. I'm not your judge. God is your judge. And the Word of God. This is just a portion of the Word of God that I'm going to share with you tonight. Amen? Praise God. And so legalism assumes that godliness consists merely of living as close as possible to moral laws. Legalism emphasizes outward conduct almost solely to the exclusion of inward thoughts and motivations. Three different forms of legalism exist in the New Testament times. First, there was the legalism of those who believed that salvation could be attained by simply keeping the law. Just because you believe in the Ten Commandments, it's not going to save you. Amen. Legalism does not consist on the fact that you're a good person. Good people go to hell every day. The Bible says you must be born again of the water and of the Spirit. And so legalism, the Bible says the letter killeth, but the Spirit maketh alive. We need the letter, but we also need the Spirit. And so we've got to dwell where the Spirit is being poured out. Can't think of a better place than Landmark. It's not the only place, but it's one of those good places. Praise God. And in other words, let me give you an example. How about the rich young ruler? Jesus, I want to follow you. I want to be one of your disciples. He said, go sell everything you have and follow me. He said, You see, he had obeyed the commandments. That's why the Lord didn't mess with the commandments. God knew the young man loved the commandments. But he wasn't ready to be obedient to the voice of God, whatever God wanted. And God hit him right where he lived. Hello? I said, the Lord hit him right where he lived, right where he was. You know, God is God, and he can change his mind. Did you know that? Did he not change his mind with Abraham? He said, sacrifice your son, your only son. Abraham went to do it. He said, whatever you want. The Lord was seeing, Abraham, are you legalistic, or are you in love with me and you have a relationship with me? Abraham, God went right straight to where Abraham lived. And he knew the greatest thing that ever happened to Abraham was his son. And he said, Abraham, I want it. Now go offer it to me. And that's what Abraham did. He did the same thing to this rich young ruler. He said, Give everything you've got to the poor, and then come, and I'll let you be one of my disciples. I got a feeling that young man said, no problem, Lord, I'm out of here. The Lord probably would have said, just stay where you're at. Can't you take the yoke? But we'll never know, will we? I mean, he could have desired and wanted that. There are just things in the Word of God that the Lord will prick our hearts with. Now, the Lord will never, ever tempt you to do evil. The devil will do that. But God will tempt you to do good. And holiness, ladies and gentlemen, is good. And if you feel tempted by God to do this, then I would do it if I were you. Because life will only get better and greater. And you'll go into another dimension in the Spirit of God. Then there was the legalism of the Jews, mentioned in the book of Galatians, who believed that living the Christian life consisted of keeping the law and nothing more. They even tried to apply the law to Jesus. He healed somebody on the Sabbath. Can you believe it? He broke the Sabbath. He annihilated the rules and healed somebody, and the Jews wanted to crucify him for it. The Lord was trying to break into their hearts with holiness and tell them this is not about a staunch book of rules. This is about what the Spirit of God wants to do at this time. And I'm telling you, this time my God wants a revival of holiness. It's not a time for apostolics to let go and release. I'm telling you, people, there's been people that go to a good church for 20 years and find out that they're going to get a $50 an hour raise if they transfer to Virginia, and they'll take off and go to Virginia after checking out that job and after checking out how much money they're going to make, and never ever visit the church that they may have to go to. Wind up in a church that has compromised this message. Wind up in a place that even the pastor's wife doesn't even want to be holy. We're living in a generation, the Bible said, in the last generation, that everything that can be shaken is going to be shaken, and churches are not going to be exempt. You may leave this church for 10, 15, or 20 years, but when you come back and I'm still pastoring, it's going to be what it was when you left. This world will not dictate to me what this church is going to look like, what this church is going to act like, what it's going to walk like and talk like. Amen. We're going to have different revivals. We're going to have great inspirations, and we're going to do different things, and our methods may change, but our gospel will never change, because it is the death, burial, and resurrection, and his desire for holiness among his men and his women will never change. Amen. Praise God. Finally, there was the legalism of the Pharisees, who not only tried to keep the law in order to gain salvation, they also went beyond the teaching of the Scripture and added requirements which had no scriptural basis. Here are some reasons why true holiness-minded people always reject legalism. It is never correct to base your hope of salvation on what you do for God. Your office will never dictate how much salvation you've got. People can work for God 24 hours a day and be as lost as they could be, because it's the Spirit. Well, don't get me going again. I've only got a little time. Remember this. If one is truly saved by the grace of God, somebody say the grace of God, his life is going to bear fruit that is pleasing to God. If God is in there, no matter how long it takes, work his way out of there. And what is on the inside is going to be displayed on the outside. Don't let anybody tell you that's legalism, because it's not. In fact, true holiness-minded people always reject legalism for the following reasons. Listen, legalism reduces Christianity to a lifestyle which falls short of what God expects. It suggests, listen, we can make the outside holy, but the outside's not even going to be saved. That's why I don't put pressure on new people that come to the church We don't expect you to do this kind of stuff overnight. Amen. I want you to become a Christian right now. You could do that tonight. But I want you to go on to become a wonderful saint of God. Amen. And that takes time. That takes seasoning. Amen. Some things only culminate and come together and have its greatest taste with seasoning. Amen. But don't let 100 years go by. It's time for some seasoning now. And let's let God do some things that He's been wanting to do for a long, long time. Let's let God make the changes that He desires to make. Praise God. Amen. Number two, it suggests that those who keep rules are automatically living true to God's will. Legalism minimizes our obligation to God. Amen. Legalism says, as long as you got it on the outside, don't worry about what's on the inside. You can hate. You can have a bad temper. You can have a bad and rotten attitude. You can have sour spirits. And you can go off on people at any given time. Just keep maintenance on the outside. That's legalism. Holiness says that when you dress that way, you're showing someone on the outside what's on the inside. Amen. When doing what we do for God becomes a lifestyle instead of a job, instead of work. Amen. I contacted a preacher today that lost his wife. I called him. I've already sent him some money. I've already sent him a card. I've already let him know we love him. We're thinking about him. Sunday school department from the District of North Carolina. I wrote a letter to our secretary and said, please send them this money because they need it. I don't send money that I have. I don't have extra money. And those of you that your ears just really started hearing what I'm saying because I mentioned the word money, we'll put God first. He'll give you some money. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these other things will be added to you. We're trying to get all these other things before we get the kingdom of God. Hello? Before you get the kingdom of God, we could give you $1,000 tonight and next month you'll still be in debt. You'll still have problems. But I wanted him to know I loved him. I wanted him to know that we're praying for him. I wanted him to know that, look, I don't know what I'd do if I lost my wife. And you have lost the most precious thing, the greatest thing that God ever gave you on this earth, and I'm sorry. And we're going to continue to pray for you. I did not have. I don't look at that as a job. That is not a business. It's not work. It's not hard. It's not labor. It's what God would do. It's what Jesus would do if He were here. And I've received His Spirit. That's holiness, ladies and gentlemen. That's holiness. Now, I'm going to move fast here, but I'm going to go through a lot of things, so would you pay very close attention? Worldliness is a modern giant that threatens us. When the world makes inroads to the church, the world is not made better, and the church is made worldly. You've heard me say it before, I say it again. We'll never have revival with a churchy world and a worldly church. The spirit of the world will take possession of us if we allow it to do so. We must constantly guard against worldliness. The Word of God uses the word world in two different ways. The world is people, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the world that God loves. Now this is the world that God hates. The world as a system. 1 John 2:15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. What is worldliness? Worldliness is a condition of the heart which is manifest in the way people live and think. It is living with warped and unscriptural values. We try to live for God and with worldly values, and we cannot do that. It is assigning our value to what God condemns. and justifying it by our own reason. Worldliness is rejecting God's priorities for man's priorities. I know holiness looks good to God, but I don't want to look good for God. I want to look good for other people. And you know, it all depends on what other people think really looks good. It's a shame to know that as far as long hair for women, that if it became a style tomorrow, every woman in America would start wearing long hair. When God's wanted it for 2,000 years, ask yourself, who's the most important in your life? Why don't you go ahead and start to style early, because we're getting ready to have the greatest revival we've ever had, and the world's going to start looking like us. Why don't you go ahead and start early? Just a thought. Amen. Worldliness can enter the church through the movie and the television industry. The eye is the doorway through which the world enters. The heart is affected by what the eye sees. Am I right? Listen to this. Lamentation 3:51. Mine eye affecteth mine heart. What the Word of God says. Why movies, theaters, and televisions are unacceptable to holiness-minded people. Amen. There are movies we do not watch. There are places we do not go. Amen. I don't care if it's Cinderella being played at the movie theater. Don't teach your kids to go to movie theaters. To where you might draw the line. When they become adults, they may not be strong enough to draw the line. And I've had our young people to tell me that it may be Cinderella playing at the theater, but other people are going there just to make out and to feel of one another in the dark. You want to take your kids to sit around that kind of thing? You say, I've never seen that. It only takes one time. And so we protect our children from these things. Amen. And these things appeal to the carnal mind, and they feed the spirit of worldliness in us. People who are holiness-minded reject them wholeheartedly. Not because pastor said so, but because they feel a check in their spirit. The Spirit of the Lord says don't be involved in that. Here are some of the reasons holiness-minded people take a firm stand against these things. The movie and the television industry is made up of people whose character and lifestyle is corrupt. I'm telling you, some of this stuff that's coming out of Hollywood has got to be made up with corrupt minds. Hello? All of the blood and gore and guts. And listen, I'm hearing stories now of little children being murdered now in movies. They used to wouldn't be. Hollywood wouldn't have done that in the past. They wouldn't let little children get their brains blown out and show that to the public. But now it doesn't matter. Babies are being murdered and killed. And all of this suicide and all of this genocide and then all of this pedophilia and homosexuality and lesbian. No wonder our children's minds are so warped and they don't have a clue what's right or wrong. Some of us, our kids come home and we find out that they're homosexuals and they've been that way for 2 years or they've been that way for 5 years, and we want to go, oh my God. Well, don't go, oh my God. If you've let them go everywhere and see everything and feel everything and understand everything and you piped everything into your home. HBO don't stand for Holy Ghost B Hours. David said, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. We got to monitor the stuff that our children, our families are seeing. Somebody said, well, I do monitor. I watch it first to make sure my kids... So you're going to get it, but they're not. Well, what happens when you fall in love with it and you can't help but watch it from now on? Then your kids are going to get it. Just stay away from it. You wait for a little while. And the devil's got some of us hoodwinked. That means he's got your mind thinking, well, what can we do? I'm going to tell you what we can do here in just a little while. Amen. Hallelujah. James 3:11. Doth a fountain and send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter water? Can a fountain put out sweet water and bitter water at the same time? James 3:12. Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? In other words, what's on the inside? There's a little compromise in there, that's what it's going to be outside. If there's a little rebellion in there, that's what it's going to be on the outside. If there's a little, I'm not quite with God yet, it's going to be not quite with God on the outside. Sin is glamorized and graphically presented much because of a lot of television programming and all of this. And there's so much hate and violence and there's so much lust. Psalms 101:3. There it is. I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. Amen. I've asked you before, none of us here would condone homosexuality, lesbianism, and nudity, and adultery, and a number of other filthy things I don't even like to talk about. None of us would say, if your child asked you, none of you would say, I've got this man coming over, he's going to introduce us to homosexuality. I got this woman coming over, she's going to introduce us to lesbianism. I got this person coming over, and they're going to teach us exactly how to do adultery. And I got this young person, he's going to teach us how to do fornication. I've got this person, and you know, you're not going to have that person come over to my house. This is my house. Comes in through television. David said, I'll hate the work of them that turn aside. He didn't say, I hate the ones that turn aside. He said, I hate the work of them. It shall not cleave to me. That's why we don't say on your spare time, go visit other churches. Go have a good time with them. Go join up with their youth group. Go do this, go do that. Because we don't know. The Bible says, know them that labor among you. I had a preacher call me the other day. He's not even of this persuasion. And I didn't even know he recognized this, but he was speaking to me. He said, you protect your people, don't you? I said, I do the best I can. He said, I noticed that. He said, I like that about you. You're a good pastor for doing that. He was influenced by the fact that I have a spirit that wants to protect my people. And I do. Hallelujah. I don't want to keep you from anything except ungodliness. I don't want to keep you from a good time. I don't want to keep you from having friends. I don't want to keep you from fellowship. I want to keep you from ungodliness, because it only takes one time to be influenced, and then you've got a battle for the rest of your life. Hallelujah. Isaiah 33:15-16. I'm almost done. He that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despiseth the gain of oppressions, that shaketh his hands from holding bribes, that stoppeth his ears from hearing of blood, and shutteth his eyes from seeing evil, he shall dwell on high. Don't let anybody bribe you away from here with an easier way. These are polluted. The Bible indicates these are polluted beyond hope. We're commanded to depart from that which is polluted. Listen to Micah 2:10. Arise ye and depart, for this is not your rest, because it is polluted. It shall destroy you, even with a sore destruction. Now in this series, we've talked about clothing. If you have any questions, just ask me. I'll be glad to tell you. Ask some of our saints that you see dressed differently. Amen. There's women in here that would not put on a pair of pants. Ask them why. They'll tell you why. They're not going to be mean. Amen. There's women here that have long, uncut hair. Scissors has not been in their hair for years. Ask them why. They'll tell you. We talked about it last week before. And worldly entertainment and things that... Amen. Television programs, DVDs, things like this, things that the Bible say disgust God and are an abomination to God. Amen. We talked about integrity, Christ-like character, holiness. Amen. We talked about addictions and afflictions. Well, preacher, pray tell me, what in God's name can I do? You've emptied me, man. You've taken everything I am, everything I do. you ready for this? And I ran out. I mean, I couldn't write anymore. So you'll have to finish it. But once I get going, you'll understand some things. What can we do? Look holy. Dress holy. Speak holy. Visit Disney World. We can go to Six Flags. We can go to Carowinds. We can go to youth rallies. We can go to conferences. We can go to ladies' conferences. We can go to men's conferences. We can have fellowship with one another. Those places, eat together, laugh and giggle and lose our voices, shouting, running the aisles and dancing and being fired up, having revival. We can go to Beast Feast. A little commercial there. We can come to church and eat on Friday nights and fellowship with one another, have a good time. Amen. We can go deep sea fishing. We can go hunting. We can go shopping. We can go bike riding. We can go four wheeling. Three wheeling. We can go to a thing at church called buy, sell, and trade. Just laugh our heads off. Watch people do their hair. Learn how to do hair. I started wearing my hair up last week. Hello? We can have awesome church and enjoy God. We can clap our hands. We can leap for joy. We can sleep with the same woman for 50 years. I don't have to worry about anybody taking her away from me. She don't have to worry about anybody taking me away from her. I just hope she never gets full-time glasses. See what she married. Man, we having fun yet? We can have cookouts. Can't believe it. We can join the choir, the chorale, the drama team, outreach team. We can teach home Bible studies. We can be at home with our family. We can go on vacation. We can shop at Wally World. That's Walmart. GW Fashions. That's Goodwill. Dollar Store. Stop letting the devil lie to you. You can have more fun now than you've ever had before because now you got money. Remember, the devil took your money because you had to have drugs. Remember, he took your money because you had to have alcohol. Remember, your babies didn't even have milk because you couldn't even find your house on Friday night. You better stop letting the devil lie to you. Hallelujah. I'm telling our ladies, our apostolic ladies, you are beautiful since you came to God. You're gorgeous since you came to God. Our men are men since they've come to God. Our young men look like young men. Our young ladies look like young ladies. And we're still having fun. We can go on vacation. We can go to the beach. We've got money now to go to the lake. Some of us are even thinking about buying a John boat. You never even could make that decision 5 years ago. Some of you drive up here and you look like a doctor and a lawyer sitting in that new SUV or that new pickup truck or that... You ain't fooling nobody. I saw what you drove 10 years ago. That thing smoked so bad you killed every mosquito in the neighborhood when you went by. Don't you let the devil lie to you and tell you, oh, it's just about, you can't do this, you can't do, no, you can't wake up in your own vomit no more. No, no, no. You can't have suicidal thoughts no more. No, no, no. I know that's bad. I know that's evil. I know that's wicked. You don't have to spend $1,000 on Maybelline anymore because Maybelline didn't make you. Jesus Christ did. Ooh, what a saving. Somebody say, ka-ching. I feel like singing that song. Where are these old songs coming to me lately? I want to sing Maybelline. Why can't she be true? She can't be true. Because she ain't real. You're real. So let's just get real. Maybelline can't be true. My, my, my. Hey, that's 28 things. And don't get me started because I'll be going into overtime. Let's have fun. Let's just have fun. Let's live for God and have a blast. Let's live for God and have friends. Let's live for God and have influence. Let's live for God and take somebody with us to the kingdom of God. Let's live for God and have revival. Let's have fun and believe in holiness. Let's live for God and serve the Lord. Let's stand together. My Lord, I'm having fun. This is the best time I've ever had teaching on holiness. Praise God. I'm going to have to preach this out of town. Give some folks an eye-opener, revelation. Hallelujah. It's not too often you hear a preacher talk about what we can do. But hey, we can have fun. And you will want to have fun. Those other Saturday mornings when you woke up hungover, suicidal, and no money, can't pay the rent, can't pay the light bill because you squandered it off on bad decisions. And you wake up, you're thinking in your mind and in your head, what am I going to do? And we wake up on Saturday morning and say, where can we go now? What can we do now, man? I got another 20 spot here, hallelujah, because I didn't have to buy a dime bag last night. I'm coming against everything the devil's trying to tell people in this church. I'm telling you, what the devil calls fun is suicide. He will kill you if you let him. Do you hear what I'm saying? You guys are so good to let me pastor you like this. Let me just tell you this, and I'm closing for real this time. There was a young lady and a young man that went to Central Davidson High School. How many of you went to Central Davidson High School? Look at all the hands. You went to school with this young man, this young lady. She started dating this young man. They were all involved in this black, gothic juju. I don't know what you call it. I mean, but I'm just telling you right now, when you look at them, you think, you got to hold a cross in front of them or something, or they're going to bite you on the neck. I mean, serious, they're so, it's everything's black, and their eyes and their fingernails, and when they smile at you, you think, I don't know. I don't understand it. I'm not saying anything about something I don't understand. But her boyfriend did this, and then she was a straight-A honor roll student. Then she got, I read it today in the newspaper. Today, I sat down in a restaurant to eat a bite, and I had a paper, and I was reading it, and I saw her picture, I saw his picture, and here's what he started telling her. Your mama is trying to get you in her church and brainwash you. Your mama, if she loved you, she wouldn't make you go to church. If your mother, she loved you, she'd give you your liberties. And after a long while, that kind of talk, that kind of fellowship, that kind of reasoning began to sink into that young lady, 17 years old, began to sink into her heart. She began to believe him. And when he knew that she began to believe him, he began to say things like, she's brainwashing you. She hates you. She's going to destroy you. She's going to kill you. It's all about what she's doing, what your parents are doing, what your mama's doing to you, what your daddy's doing to you. And so she didn't know what else to do. And so she went home, and in the bathroom, she stabbed her mother to death. Right here at Central School. She went to Central Davidson High School, right here. Davis County, right here by this church. Can I ask you a question? Who was brainwashing who? Pastor, you're picking on people that dress different. You're picking on, I'm not picking on anybody. I'm asking you now, with that being all that, who brainwashed who? I'm not asking you to be somebody's judge. I'm asking you to have good common sense. We must not allow ourselves and our children to be brainwashed by the mess that's going on in this world. Get that computer out of the basement where you cannot monitor it. Find out what they're reading. Find out what they're listening to. Don't scare me now. Find out where they're going. Find out what they're doing. And have rules. Let's bow our heads. Holy Ghost, I pray right now in Jesus' name that you would move upon every individual that's heard my voice tonight. I pray, Lord, for a deep, mighty, moving, stirring spirit of apostolic holiness, righteousness, Lord, humility. God, I'm praying for integrity. I'm praying for godly character. I'm praying for morals. God, right now in Jesus' name, move on it, touch it, bless it. Stir it by your spirit. Shake it by your anointing. Bless every home. Bless every family. Touch our men right now. Touch our ladies right now. Touch our young people right now. And sow the seed in the hearts of our children right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Somebody shout, amen. Now somebody shout, holiness. Now say, yes. God bless you as you're dismissed in Jesus' name. Shake somebody's hand. Hug somebody's neck. Let's come. Hey, ushers, give us a hand.